Morning.
Morning.
I wonder, as we walk through a few Psalms with David, what we've learnt about David from those. There's three things I've learnt about David. David was a man who knew his God. Also, David was an honest man. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes he deluded himself, because he did on occasions, we know that. But overall, he was an honest man. And because he was an honest man and he knew his God, he was able to be honest with God. Now, Kenneth said last week, we don't take our theology from the Psalms, which is true. But we do take an awful lot of comfort from the Psalms, don't we? Sometimes we catch ourselves and think, thank goodness God didn't know that thought I just had. But that's a silly statement, isn't it? Because he does know it. And David was honest enough with his feelings to share that with God. Because there's no point hiding it from God, because God already knew. And I was sitting there thinking earlier this week, and I was thinking, imagine being in a prayer meeting with David. That would be pretty interesting, wouldn't it? Never knowing what was going to come out. Very interesting. And if he was here this morning, and if afterwards you were chatting with him over a cup of chocolate, as you would do, and he said to David, well, how are you doing, David? I'm pretty sure the words that came out of his mouth wouldn't be, I'm fine. And yet we do that all the time to each other, don't we? I don't know if that's an English, a British thing, or if it's a South African thing. Do you have it in South Africa? I'm fine. Yeah, it's a human thing then, obviously. But he didn't use his experiences just to make up good songs like an Israelite country and western star. He used them to bring him closer to God. Each experience he went through, he used them to deepen his relationship with God. So in our walk with David through the Psalms, I wonder what we've learned about God. And I wonder what we've learned about ourselves. Just some circumstances God takes us through take me away from God or deepen my relationship with God? That's the big question, isn't it? Because that's the crux of the matter. That's the important issue. It's not what circumstances they are, it's how I respond to those circumstances that's important. Then we come to Psalm 7, which we're going to deal with this morning. And there's a chap that David's having a problem with. He's called Cush, from the tribe of Benjamin. And he's obviously making it difficult for David with Saul. I wonder, how do you react when you're unfairly treated? Or you're suffering for something you didn't do? Now, I'm not talking about you didn't do the washing up, so therefore you're getting in the ear about it. But something you suffer for that you didn't do. People have different reactions. Some people go on the defensive and work on the basis the best form of defense is attack. Some people who don't feel too good about themselves, it causes them to shrink further into themselves. Some people just sit and have a pity party. I know which category I fall in, but I won't share that with you, but those who know me will know the reaction I have. Or maybe it's none of the above. And the way we act is all dependent on our relationship with God. That's what makes a difference. Think about Job. Job was an amazing man, a very godly man. When he lost property and possessions, even when he lost family, we read, he bowed down to the ground and he worshipped. When his health suffered, and his wife told him to curse God and die. Interesting, the only person of his family that was left was a real encouragement. when that happened, he said, should we accept good from God, not bad? He accepted what was coming his way and he trusted God. But interestingly enough, when his friends came to him, they spent 7 days and seven nights just sitting with him quietly. And then unfortunately they opened their mouths. And they started to question his character and his reputation. What did Job do then? Did he worship? Did he accept it? No, we have 30-odd chapters of him arguing. Because he's cut too close, didn't it? He could deal with family issues. He could deal with health issues. But when his reputation was called into question, that caused him to argue. I'm not criticising Job, because I probably would have been in the same place. I'd probably been there a lot quicker than Job was. But what about Jesus? What was his reaction? We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 this, verses 22 and 23. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Now, I've read those verses an awful lot of time, but with this new translation I've got hold of, it gives a bit of a different spin on it, doesn't it? He left his case in the hands of God, who judges fairly. That was his response. So let's go to Psalm chapter 7, and we'll have a read of it. And it says this: I come to you for protection, O Lord my God. Save me from my persecutors. Rescue me. If you don't, they will maul me like a lion, tearing me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord my God, if I have done wrong, or I am guilty of injustice, if I have betrayed a friend or plundered my enemy without cause, then let my enemies captivate me. Let them trample me underground and drag my honour in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in anger. Stand up against the fury of my enemies. Wake up, my God, and bring justice. Gather the nations before you. Rule over them from on high. The Lord judges the nations. Declare me righteous, O Lord, for I am innocent, O Most High. End the evil of those who are wicked, and defend the righteous. For you look deep within my mind and heart, O righteous God. God is my shield, saving those whose hearts are true and right. God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. If a person does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He will prepare his deadly weapons and shoot his flaming arrows. The wicked conceive evil. They are pregnant with trouble and they give birth to lies. They dig a deep pit to trap others. They fall into it themselves. The trouble they make for others backfires on them. The violence they plan falls on their own heads. I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. You can see why we can't take our theology from Psalms, because David's really giving it some in that Psalms. But he's being honest with God. That's how he feels. So there's no good hiding it. So when hard circumstances come our way, and they do, there are two parts. There's God's part, and there's my part. And we can't get those confused. Because so often we try to do God's part, when all he's calling us to do is to do our part. So let's first consider God's part. And in verse 10, read this. God is my shield. He's my defense, my protection. Not me. Because if I'm relying on myself to be my own protection, I am going to fail big time every time. And yet God, who doesn't fail, is my shield. And no matter what comes at me, he's still my shield. Verse 9 says this: "For you look deep within the mind and the heart, O righteous God." He knows the truth. He sees the truth. Not my view of truth, but he knows the reality. And therefore I can trust him with whatever happens, because he knows what's happening. He's not surprised by it. Verse 11 says this: "God is an honest judge." How we need those today. "And because he's an honest judge, I can trust him to be right. I don't have to question him. I can do. He's not shocked by that. But I can trust that he's doing what is right. And he's allowing circumstances because he knows the situation much better than I think I can ever do." Not only is he an honest judge, but verse 17 says, "The Lord is just." So not only is he right, but I can trust him to do right in the situation. If I find myself in a situation where things are being said about me which I know are wrong, I can trust God as the honest judge to be right in that situation, and because he is just, to do right in that situation. Because he's my shield, I don't need to have to defend myself. That shouldn't need to be my reaction, because he's already doing that. And David knew that, even though what he was going through, he would rather not be going through. He knew God's part. But he also, and we also, have our part. Verse 1 says this: "I come to you for protection, O Lord my God." We really can't look anywhere else for protection apart from God. Who's bigger than God? Who's more powerful than God? Who's stronger than God? Who knows the situation better than God? Who knows the future but God? So in reality, he is the only one I can come to for protection. Even though very often I would like to fall behind my protection to deal with the situation and to defend myself. But there's an important thing that David realises, and we need to realise as well. It's found in verses 3 to 5. "O Lord God, if I have done wrong, or I am guilty of injustice, if I betrayed a friend or plundered my enemy without cause, then let my enemies capture me. Let them trample me into the ground and drag my honour in the dust." David knew he needed to be right if God was going to defend him. We can't call upon God to defend us if we're wrong or in the wrong. Psalm 139 says this in verse 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." You need to be a brave person to pray a prayer like that, and to mean it. To open yourself up to God for him to inspect you, to inspect me. And yet, that's my part if a situation arises. To make sure that I am right not in my own eyes, but I'm right before God, so he can defend me. Verse 8 says this: the Lord judges the righteous. Declare me righteous, O Lord, for I am innocent, O Most High. We need to allow God and trust God to do his part. Verse 17. Interestingly, how many times David goes through times of real hardship and darkness, and yet he ends up with giving thanks. Verse 17 says this: I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. My part, which is probably one of the hardest parts when we are wrongfully accused or when hardness comes our way, my part is to use it as an opportunity. Use it as an opportunity to give thanks. And that is a really difficult thing to do. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:13, it says this. 5:18, sorry. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances, because it's God's will for you. That's tough. And that's hard. But that's what God calls us to do, is our part. And God will give us strength to do that. So I just want to leave you with three questions, a couple of passages to think on this week for yourselves. When hard circumstances come my way, do I try to do God's part? Do difficult circumstances draw me closer to God or take me away from God? Do I see difficult circumstances as an opportunity or an obstacle? That's what I'm asking each of us to think about this week. And here's some verses to help you and to help me. 1 Peter 2, we're going back to 1 Peter 2, says this in verses 19 to 21. Says this: for God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust circumstances and unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and he must follow in his steps. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4 says this: those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. In the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord: he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. May we know that this week.